Please sit down and let's open our Bibles to the middle of the Bible. If you have the actual Bible in front of you, open it up right in the middle, and you should land on the book of Psalms. And we're turning to Psalm 119. And your parents probably know this already. I don't know if you know this, but Psalm 119, we're looking at the longest chapter in the whole Bible. But today, obviously, we're not going to look at the whole chapter. That's going to take way too long. I don't think I can squeeze everything into one sermon, but we're just looking at a couple verses. So Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Psalm 119, 97 to 104. And like I said during the confession of faith, these days we're working our way through the Ten Commandments. And that's because it's very important. We need to know what each commandment means, what each commandment requires of us, what God wants from us in each of the commandments. But I realize as your pastor that as we walk through the Ten Commandments that there's a danger to that. And the danger is it's really easy to misinterpret God's law. And I wonder if in the pews, as you look at the requirements of God's law, you have this skewed understanding of who God is. Because it's so easy, I think, to misinterpret what God's laws are all about. When you think about the Ten Commandments or all the thou shalt nots in the Bible, I wonder if you picture God as this really mean and austere God with lightning bolts in his hand, and he's ready to just zap you as soon as you fail. Is that your theology, or is that your view of God? You hear this dark music playing in the background as God demands from his people with furrowed eyebrows, do not worship idols, do not break the Sabbath, do not take my name in vain. Perhaps people who aren't Christians, people who are outside the church, look at our confession of faith this morning, and perhaps they say to themselves, see, right, it is puritanical, this religion. Right, so many do this and don't do that. So many thou shalt nots. Christianity will rob you of your joy, freedom, life, and authenticity. There are people outside the church who think that. That's their preconceived notion of what God's word is, what Christianity is. And as Christians, as believers, we ought to say, but that is misinterpreting. We ought to be able to say that is not who our God is. Our God, in truth, is the God of joy. He cares so deeply about our joy. He created us, the Bible says, for joy. And more than that, he saved us at the cost of his only son for our joy. And we see this biblical truth right in the beginning of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is man's primary purpose? Or what is man's chief end? And we believe that the catechism is right, that it interprets the Bible correctly when it gives us the answer to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. You see, everlasting joy in the presence of our God, that is the essence of Christianity. And in today's song, the song that God wrote, we see this essence so clearly. That's why it's so important for us. And it's my prayer that as we look at this song, that we'll come to see the true God of joy very clearly, that we may be persuaded that God is the God of joy, and through us may God persuade others that he is the God of everlasting joy. May we learn to look at the true God of joy in all of God's word, including the thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments. So let's turn to this very important song. Let's begin with verse 97. And keep in mind, God wrote these lyrics through human songwriters. These are the words that God himself composed. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Praise God for His holy and living word. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this song that you wrote. And we ask you at this time to give us great wisdom so that we may learn this song, sing this song, and delight in this song. And through this song, I pray that you would give us a better theology, meaning that you would change how we view you, that our perspective of you might become more accurate, that is more scriptural. Father, we pray that you would do this very important work through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we dig deep into your word. And we pray this humbly, but with confidence, in your Son's name. Amen. So if you're someone who mistakenly thinks that Scripture and Christianity and God, that these things are something sour and dour, if that's what you think, when you look at this song doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Because on the one hand, this person, it's so obvious. I don't need to do close analysis of the verses or close exegesis. It's right there very plainly on the page that this person is someone who delights and loves the law of God. That's what he says, doesn't he? Right away in the opening. He just loves God's law. Now think about that. God's law, which includes all the thou shalt nots in the Ten Commandments, even those. He says right away, I love it. I delight in it. I listen to the beginning of the song. He just exclaims. You could say that he rhapsodizes. Oh, how I love your law. And he continues. It is my meditation all the day. Think about that. He's confessing to us right now that again and again and again throughout the whole day, he finds his thoughts returning again and again to the word of the Lord because he just loves it so much. He can't get enough. And then he continues in verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So what are we looking at this morning? We're looking at a man or a woman, I'm not sure. We're looking at a songwriter who of his own volition, of his own free will, he goes back to God's word again and again because in God's word he gets to feast with God at God's banquet table. That is the image that God's giving us here. This man sitting at the banquet table of God because there he is well nourished. There he is well fed, well satisfied, and he feels more alive than ever. And now think about that because so many people in our world, they look at God's law and its strict requirements and they'll say to themselves, you know, these things, this narrow dogmatism, these religious rules and beliefs, they're going to restrict and kill your joy, freedom, and authenticity. But that's not at all what we're seeing here. Not at all. And what we need to learn from this, the first application is this, that despite what the world may think, despite what your heart may say deep inside, that whenever we hear God's voice in His Word, even the thou shalt nots, that in fact it is not a frowning face glaring down at you from heaven. That's a misconception according to Scripture. But even in the thou shalt nots, in every single facet of God's Word, in reality, our lavish Father is smiling down on us with a warm countenance to give us life. And Scripture is teaching us that that is the truth. That that is the true image of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Remember the psalmist who's overflowing with joy, life. You can say that he feels more authentic than ever. But he's one who freely and willingly sits at the table of God's Word and he submits himself to it. I want us to think about that. I want us to look at something kind of strange when you first read this. It may seem counterintuitive and it may seem illogical. I want you to look at the thou shalt not in this song. And that the thou shalt not, it is present in the song. The songwriter doesn't try to hide it, but it's very visible. It's very conspicuous in this song of joy and freedom, where he confesses that he feels more alive than ever. Very visibly, you see this thou shalt not. And you see that in verse 101. Read verse 101 with me. And the singer says, the singer sings, I should say, from every evil pathway. He says, I have restrained my feet in order that I may keep your word. Think about that. This is a song of joy. This is a song that celebrates life in Christ. This is a song that delights in God's generosity, but at the same time, you find this thou shalt not, don't you? I restrain my feet from every evil pathway. And what is he saying when he says, I restrain myself? This joyful psalmist who's overflowing with life, he's someone who knows how to say no to his desires. You need to see that. He's someone who knows how to deny his desires. He's someone who restrains himself. And again, in our culture, that sounds so strange and counterintuitive, doesn't it? Because when people talk about concepts like denying your desires, or they may say repressing your desires, they automatically associate that with something dangerous, with something that's not healthy. Many people say that you ought to express your desires, follow through with them. It's no good to repress them. But the psalmist who's overflowing with life, meaning, and life in Christ, he says, from every evil, I have restrained my feet. Right there you see it right away. Thou shalt not. You see, your Creator's logic, you have to understand this, your Creator's logic is so different than the logic of your culture, than the logic of this world. Your Creator's logic says, the Word of God, including the thou shalt nots, they perfectly harmonize with your human flourishing. That is the logic of our God. And the psalmist who understands his Creator's logic, he continues to sing in verse 102. Another thou shalt not. He sings in verse 102, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Right? This person, this joyful person who delights in God, he is saying here, I do not turn aside from your word. I honor your word. I submit to your word. I submit even to your thou shalt nots. But that's what we need to see so clearly in today's passage. I know, it's very strange. It's hard to understand. And although it is counterintuitive, although we may not understand this right away, I think that this truth, the truth of God's logic, that His word, the thou shalt not, perfectly harmonizing with our human flourishing, although that is counterintuitive, I believe that it's not something that's impossible for us to grasp. Because it's something that you and I, we see it more often than you think in our ordinary everyday lives. As I was thinking about the song and our Creator's logic and submitting myself to the Word of God and its requirements, which are oftentimes difficult, I was thinking about my friend who invited me to his barbecue. I received an invite, and he's having a barbecue, and he's inviting his friends over. And I've been to his barbecues before, and I know exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a banquet table. When I go there, there's going to be a feast, a super abundance of food. And I know that most likely at the end of the night, he's going to give you a bag of meat, and he's going to say, please, you are taking this. But that's the type of host he is. And I also know that it's not just going to be sheer quantity, but also the quality. Right, he's an amazing chef. He's so good at the grill. I know that's what awaits me. And so what do I do before I go to his barbecues? Right, exactly what I do every single time. And that is, I say to myself, thou shalt not. And I know that some of you also say, thou shalt not. Right? Thou shalt not feed on junk food before the barbecue. Thou shalt not fill up your stomach with mediocre food before you go there. Perhaps I'll even say to myself, thou shalt not say yes to lunch today. But the thing is, when I restrain myself, when I deny myself, am I doing that because I'm anti-joy or anti-pleasure? Not at all. It's the exact opposite. I deny myself. I restrain myself. You can say that I suppress my appetites, or I don't submit to my appetites for the enhancement of joy and pleasure. And I share that because it's the exact same way with the Word of God and submitting to Scripture. It's the same exact principle at work. The psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Why is it that as Christ's disciples, we ought to say no to ourselves every single day? Why ought we take up our cross and deny ourselves day after day? Why ought we to say no to greed, to selfishness, to white lies, to laziness? Why ought we to say no to lust? Why should young Christian men and women keep themselves pure and guard themselves zealously from lustful sexual fantasies when it seems like the world around us, they're just indulging in them without thinking twice, freely? Why should they do that? And why should they refrain from premarital sex? Why? And this song is giving us the answer, and it's God's answer. Let me answer that question like this. If I were to ask you, what words get repeated the most in Psalm 119? If I were to ask you that question, I think that most of you, you'll say something like this. I know that Psalm 119 is all about Scripture, the Bible. And so I would guess God's commandments, or God's precepts, or God's testimonies. And that would be a very good guess. But the thing is, I don't know if you know this, those words actually come in distant second. It's not even close. David Pallison, who is a Christian counselor, he points out that something else comes in first place, by far. And what are those words? It's not easy to notice, but when you look at the song carefully, from the beginning to the end, the words that get repeated the most are actually first and second person pronouns. But you see it everywhere. It permeates this entire song. So, words like I, me, mine, your, yours, your. Look at today's song. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wise, wiser than my enemies. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. But you have to see that. I and thou, again and again and again. You see, it's an intensely relational song. This song is all about fellowship. Of course, the Word of God also has a central place in the song. We can't deny that. But you have to realize that the Word of God, it's an instrument. It's God's chosen instrument for having fellowship with His beloved people. And fellowship with your God, that is the banquet table. That is the richest fare. That is the richest fare at the 3 Michelin-starred restaurant. That is the goal, and that is what the psalmist is aiming for. That's why he delights so much in the Word of God. That's why he submits himself to it. That's why he conforms his life to it. So that he may taste and see that the Lord is so good. Like, that is the essence of Psalm 119. And you and I, when Jesus calls us to pick up our cross day after day, it's not a frowning face glaring down at you who's trying to rob you of your joy and authenticity or anything like that. But it is the Lord who, from the Lord's table, it is the Lord who in our everyday lives and also during corporate worship with open arms, He's telling us, inviting us, beckoning us to His table so that we may be satisfied, well nourished, so that we may pulse with eternal life. That is the essence of His heart. That is the goal of Scripture. And so as God's people, I pray that we will never forget this, no matter what the world may say, no matter what your heart may tell you. Months ago, when we read John chapter 1, we read that Jesus Christ is the ultimate Word of God. Jesus Christ is God's ultimate chosen instrument for having fellowship with His people. We looked at Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that which was from the beginning, that which was God, and is God. Jesus, the Word of God, who became flesh and who dwelt among us, made his, who tabernacled among us. It says in John 1:14. We learn in the Gospel of John right there in the beginning that He is the ultimate Word of God. He is God's perfect chosen instrument for having fellowship with us. Now as I end today's sermon, I want us to think about Jesus Christ and think about how much God wants you to be in fellowship with Him. How much God wants to nourish you, satisfy you, meet with you, and to provide for you. For God so loved the world, it says, He gave His one and only Son so that you may be in fellowship with Him. And God the Son, He didn't come grudgingly, but He came freely. He came gladly so that we might be reconciled to our God, find forgiveness, and be restored to fellowship. That's how much God cares about your fellowship with Him. That's how much, how deeply God cares for your joy, your life, and your satisfaction. So as we end today's sermon, and as we gaze at Jesus Christ, won't you train yourself to restrain yourself? Won't you heed Jesus' command, His wonderful, thou shalt not, and won't you pick up your cross every single day, say no to yourself, instead of going the way you want, submitting to His wisdom and His generous lavishness. Won't you do that? Let me ask you, which thou shalt not are you struggling with in your life right now? Is it greed? Is it some idolatry? Is it lust or is it selfishness? Or is your thou shalt not, the thing that you're struggling with so much, something else? Maybe it's the thou shalt not that God is speaking to you providentially, meaning it's not something that is in God's word per se, but through the circumstances of life, through the situations that you're encountering, God is revealing to you, I'm going to take you this way, even though you want to go that way. And Jesus Christ is saying to you, won't you say yes to my plan, even though that way is the way you want to go? Won't you say no to yourself and trust me and go this way because I am shepherding you? Is that the thou shalt not that you're struggling with so much these days? And God is saying to you this morning, whatever thou shalt not that you may be grappling with, when you hear His thou shalt not, don't let Satan whisper in your ear. Don't fall like Adam. Don't fall like Eve. Don't let Satan say in your ear, did God really say thou shalt not to you? I don't know how I feel about that. And very subtly, He changes your theology and you stop believing in the goodness of God and you believe in an entirely different God. Don't let that happen to you. When you hear the word of God, even the thou shalt nots, in whatever form, I want you to look at Jesus Christ, the one who became flesh, the one who dwelt among us, because He wants you at His banquet table, which is the best table. And at that table, God Himself is the host. And at that table, God invites us in for our joy and for our eternal life. And that is the true and living God. May we believe in it. May we be persuaded of it. And may we pursue after Him, although that entails picking up our crosses today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives. May we trust in Him. Let's go to our God and let's ask that Christ would sanctify us through His Word. Lord, we live in a culture where it's fashionable, it's rational, and it's wise to be autonomous, submitting ourselves to another, submitting ourselves to what's written down in a book. That is something crazy, irrational, and dangerous from the perspective of, from the standpoint of our society. But God, we think about the command in the book of Romans. You tell us, do not conform to the pattern of this age. Do not do that, but be transformed. Be different through the renewing of your mind. And we pray that your word will renew our minds profoundly today and every day. God, help us to be people of the book, because you teach us that scripture doesn't come to us by the will of man. Although they were written down by human authors, you reveal to us through your apostle, Peter, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And all scripture has been breathed out ultimately from the mouth of God, that it is your living breath, the voice of God, regenerating our hearts, sustaining us with Christ's resurrection power. So God, give us reverence for your words. Teach us to love it. Teach us to submit ourselves to it. I pray that we won't be picky, that we won't pick and choose the parts that our hearts gravitate to, but Lord, may the whole counsel of God fill our hearts so completely so that the word of Christ may dwell in us richly. And I pray that you would continue to make that happen through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Lord. In a visible way, we see the gospel displayed in the Lord's Supper, so we pray for your consecration and blessing during the Lord's Supper, that you would continue to bless us, not only from the Bible, but through the bread and the wine. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for your word. Make us more zealous and give us greater childlike trust, that we might trust in you more than ourselves, more than what the world may have to say. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.